Russell Brand. And Russell is here. Wow, look at him. He looks like a man.
I am a man.
You are a man. Hello, Russell Brand.
Hello, how lovely to see you this morning.
Your beard.
It's getting thicker.
I've grown a beard on account of I'm doing Shakespeare and, you know, beard, bard. Turns out they don't want me to have a beard, but I've made the decision now.
Right.
I kind of feel obliged to stick with it.
How long did that take?
This, I believe, is a month's worth of beard, although I think there's something of the pubic about it.
Right.
This is a concern.
It's quite wiry, isn't it?
It is a little wiry. Mm. I'm sort of hoping to get into Brian Blessed territory. I want to be bombastic and sort of feel like a... like a gravitas.
Feel like a...
Like I have gravitas,
Do the noise again.
Blimey.
Wow.
Like that, because it comes from the diaphragm, I believe they call that.
What's the longest you've ever grown your beard?
This is it.
Because
I've never had time before. I've always been under a great deal of pressure to not have a beard on account, and also because it looks like this, you know, people are discouraging, faintly discouraging. You know, sort of like, say you're not very good at dancing, like the way that you're I'm not very good at dancing, and the way you learn you're not good at dancing is you'll be doing some dancing and people will look at you and you'll see their face fold into disappointment and disillusionment. It's like that with this beard. Like, people go, you've got a beard. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Do you?
Thank you. Thank you very much. But it's, you know, that's no cake. I appreciate the comment, but I'll put some icing on that compliment and it might mean more.
The cake is a massive compliment, Russell, but I forgot to do it.
Which you haven't paid him.
Actually, you're obviously under a great deal of pressure. What with your boozing commitments?
No, not in the week.
Russell could give you advice on not drinking.
Just take it one day at a time, is what I will say.
I haven't got a problem.
Look at the problems behind the drinking. What are you trying to address?
I feel like I'm going really red.
That's probably the booze as well. Look at you. Unbelievable.
Anyway, we're talking about you.
Yes.
And your beard.
Yes, and you. And your alcoholism.
And your beard.
That's the next step, you know.
Yeah, I'll be
You'll
growing facial hair.
You'll become a suit with the booze.
I'm really red now. Right.
Well, you look very pretty.
Thanks,
Is this a bad thing? Is this, on my part, is this bad? Is this ignorance? Or is this just kind of life?
I'm going to hazard a guess it's ignorance, but now tell me what it is, Chris.
as somebody with... I don't have an addiction to drink or drugs or anything like that. But I do like a drink.
I think that's all right. You seem to be able to live your life and be successful while drinking.
I do see people who don't drink anymore, and I do often think, when you say no more, do you have a little bit? Or when you say, we went too far, did it really go too far? Or maybe it's just not for you. Yeah. Is that bad that I think that about
I think
people?
You're entitled to, because you clearly don't have a problem in that area. There might be other areas you think, where your behaviour is compulsive. You know, we'll have to have a look at how you break down your day.
Just phone bills, you're going to have a
phone
look at.
Phone bills.
That'll give you a rough idea.
Well, I think that should, yes. If there's a lot of expensive premium rate calls being made, that's something we
German
could look at.
German phone lines,
German phone lines.
Yeah, and Indian takeaways.
Oh, now.
Sometimes I mix the two up, which is very embarrassing.
German takeaways and Indian phone lines.
That's quite cosmopolitan, though.
Isn't it?
A nice German takeaway. A bit of a bratwurst.
But you know what I mean? There are certain people you look at and you go, now, like Robbie Williams,
right? Lovely fellow,
now,
of course.
Did he really have that? Was it really that bad? Or did he just need a big break?
I don't reckon, because drinking is a right laugh, I think people only give it up if they have to, because I'm sure you enjoy it. And it's only if your life becomes a great big catastrophe and everyone agrees that you're a bit of a nuisance while drinking that, that's the only circumstances I'd give it up under. I'd rather have a drink. I'd be drunk now. In the days when I was drinking, I would have thought, oh God, I'm going on Chris Moyles. Get drunk. That'll improve it. Then I'd have come in here all sweating, and instead of politely saying I would have liked an Alan Carr cake, I would have perhaps started to weep and stuff and tried to make a cake with my own body mucuses, upper body mucuses.
But I think, aren't you sort of trying to...
I'm glad you're not drinking then.
Who needs a cake made of that?
Exactly.
Aren't you trying to say the fact that, and again, this will be a comment based on ignorance, I imagine, but is that if you are somebody who feels that they do have a problem with it and they need to stop for whatever reason, and there's many famous people who have, is that rather than then stopping forever, which seems to be the norm and the only kind of course of action, can you not just sort of stop and reset and then go, I forget all the silly days, I'm just going to have the odd beer now and again? Because that doesn't seem to be an option.
It doesn't seem to be. What now? what people say in the fellowships of Alcoholic Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous would be take it one day at a time, because the idea of stopping drinking for the rest of your life is like, oh no, not the rest of my life without booze. But if you can't live your whole life at once, unless you are a Time Lord, then you can live so in tandem every day of your life. But you're only really dealing with life one day at a time, so that philosophically, that is the way to approach it. If you are listening to this on the brink of an alcoholic breakdown.
But who's to say that these people are right?
I mean, sometimes I look at them and think, are you not just squares?
Well, because
have a drink.
If you think about it, what they've done is they can't handle their consumption of alcohol, so they decide to stop.
Yes.
And then, when other people come along, they go, do you know what you should do? You should stop, because this is what I... And you go, well, you took one path at the crossroads, and you could have taken one or two or three.
Mm.
And, like, for me, I would have different advice.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'd
have a week off.
Have a week. I mean, I think if people's lives are going a bit balmy on account of the booze, have a little look at it. But if you're having a hell of a time, stop worrying. You know, like, I would never tell anyone not to drink if they're enjoying themselves.
Do you know what it is? Is that rather than it being a crossroads that you reach, where literally you can either go straight on with the bad things or you can take a different journey to goodness, maybe it's more of a roundabout where there are actually different options.
Good
maybe
point.
Three or four different routes.
Perhaps
you
it's
could
like
take.
Spaghetti Junction.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's a series of different. An endless network of underground tunnels, like, and it's occupied by hobbits and folk of the forest and whimsical elves and people kissing each other. It's a Tolkien-esque wonderland, all subterranean. Mm. There's cobwebs everywhere. Oh, imagine having a cobweb in your throat. Who needs that on a Wednesday? What day is this?
Tuesday.
Never mind.
They're all the same, really, though. I mean, there's no objectivity to days, is there? I mean, you know, on Saturn it wouldn't matter.
I think we've cleared up the whole drinking
I should cocoa.
Yeah. I think we've covered it up.
I feel that we've made real breakthroughs.
I feel we've helped people.
People out there now, there's people tossing bottles of gin out of their windows now, rubbing their eyes and then giving two thumbs up to the dawn.
So many things to talk about, Mr. Brand.
Ah.
Are you happy at the moment?
Yes, I feel quite upbeat, actually. I feel like I'm spiritually in tune with the old universe. I'm having a hell of a time. I've bought a new hot tub. Everything seems to be okay. Yeah, it was put in my garden with a crane. It was quite pricey to get a hot tub, but
is
it does
here?
Pay for itself. Yes, here in my North
abode.
London home. Yes, nice it is. It's self-cleansing, unlike my soul.
Right.
So, in a way, you know, I've started drinking chlorine now, in the vain hope that one day I'll reach enlightenment.
When did you get it delivered?
About a month or so ago.
And how long from you being delivered and the people leaving before it was full and...
It was dangling from a hook and people were leaping in it, clambering up the sides. There's acrylic fingernails stuck all over that thing. Not from people escaping, from people trying to get in.
And was it worth the money? Is it an enjoyable
it's
part of
it? It's paid for itself.
I
will
it
say
have.
That.
Right.
Now, we've dealt with the problem of alcoholism. Now let's deal with the problem of late night entertainment. I'd say, you know, if you want to get ahead, get a hot tub.
Okay, brilliant.
Right.
And does it have... Do you know what that'll do? I think...
Well done,
everyone.
And you really had to have it craned over the house?
We had to crane it over the house. The neighbours came out to gawp at it, apparently. They gawped in wonder as if it was a UFO.
Like a bubbly spaceship.
Very much. Like as if E.T. would come down from space and go, hey, jump in. The Milky Bars are on me. Yeah. Other chocolates are available.
Does it... Do you get on well with your neighbours?
Well, I think
sociable?
There's actually... I think it's quite difficult. I love my neighbours in a very real way. I'm trying to create an Erinsborough style feel of look, jaunty love, but I think oh, there's that obnoxious man who's moved, because I live in a posh area.
Hello.
You know, so like I think some people, I don't know, they seem they're quite nice. I don't trouble them. I'm mostly in the hot tub. I mean, I think they're probably irritated.
Can they peep over the hedge and just go, good evening, Russell?
There was a lot of council planning issues with growing tall shrubs. I'm like, you know, you need to create a sort of an Eden. I need to create a sort of a maze of foliage to protect what goes on in that hot tub from the peering eyes of the people of Hampstead.
Sure.
You know, but it's a... I think they like it. I think they like to just see me back on my feet. I like to think that the neighbourhood watch just think, there he goes again, look, bless him. You know, so I think they're all behind me. And could I take this opportunity to apologise to a British institution and Manuel actor from 40 Towers, Andrew Sachs, whose answer phone message I besmirched. Or more importantly, Jonathan Ross, who I know was problematic when he came on your show, Chris. I phoned up Andrew Sachs to apologise for a matter live on radio, and Jonathan Ross blurted out an expletive regarding Andrew Sachs's granddaughter, who I'd, in inverted commas, recently met.
I met her brains out.
Wow.
Right.
What a... Wow.
Has she seen the hot tub?
There was a hot tub incident, but remember, that hot tub's in a way is like Lourdes. People come there to be cleansed.
And play cricket.
A lot of wheelchairs around it.
But you know now, when a young lady does come round to visit, she will be, you know, and you give a very brief tour of the downstairs, she will be waiting for the back of the house thing so she can look out the window when I get to see the hot tub.
Yeah, I normally finish the tour on the hot tub.
Right.
Well, there you go.
Hot tub.
We wait for the back of the house thing.
Well, no, you know what I mean.
It makes it sound even worse.
Downstairs, then it's to the back door.
And as he opens the back door, the hot tub is bubbling away with music and strawberries. I don't know. You do it.
It's beautiful. Music and strawberries.
I don't know.
Music wonder.
I haven't romanced a woman for years.
That was lovely. That was like a poem, Chris. Mm. Music and strawberries. That was like, something from the Beat Generation. That was beautiful. It was psychedelic.
Just because you go out with somebody who doesn't have a job doesn't mean that the rest of us don't know what romance is. Music and strawberries, that's it.
She's boozing there on the doll with a pair of her job, hanging on to it by a thread, coming in here, coughing up myths.
You know, listen, Russell has a life where he can enjoy having a crane drop a hot tub over his house into the back garden. I can't. I find music, and strawberries, right, and a matey-filled bath is just as good in my life.
And some Andrew's liver salts, instant jacuzzi. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Add strawberries.
Get a little straw, blow into it, creates the bubbles of the hot tub.
That's very romantic.
That's a lovely Blue Peter approach to the wonderful world of hot tubbery.
Exactly. I'm sure many listeners will try that tonight.
Well, I'm sure they will. And they will thank me in the morning after their night of strawberry bath fun.
Sounds like a lovely piece of entertainment.
Is it?
My boyfriend's not on the dole.
Was that bothering you?
No,
that
not
was
actually.
That lingering?
I just don't want to.
He's actively seeking work.
He is actually working at the moment.
There's nothing wrong with signing on. I signed on for a good 8 years, and it was a wonderful time in my life, draining the old nation's resources.
To be fair, you were working on Big Brother's Big Mouth at the time, and
that's
you shouldn't
true,
have been signing
on. I don't know, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to cope. It's not enough money. 48 quid a week? You must be joking.
A nightmare. Right, more from Russell in a second. We're going to talk about the book, we're going to talk about LA and many other things. Russell is here. It's 8:26. Radio 1. That's the great sounds of Neo and Closer on Radio 1. And here is star of Radio 2, Russell Brand.
Hello.
Hi. I was in a cab on Saturday going to Kerry's party.
Yeah, very nice it was
and,
too.
And the cab driver had the show on and it was very quiet. Because you could just hear it through the bulletproof thick Perspex glass that they have in London cabs.
Right.
And I knew it was the start of the show because I heard a jingle go and I heard Russell Brand. Because they all have jingles that, with a posh man's voice who goes, Russell Brand.
Yes, that's right. It makes me feel part of the great lineage of Radio 2, very much part of the Wogan camp when I hear that. Not that, heaven's sake, I mean, obviously this is, we're very much on Radio 1. This moment, but I enjoy that there is a kind of like a natural history museum feel to broadcasting Russell Brand.
Hello,
cool blimey, and then it sort of breaks into sort of pseudo Victorian smut.
I think you went into the Rolling Stones. I think that's what you played.
There
something.
We go. Those guys, they know how to live. What
Russell like did a weird. I don't know. I laid the links down weeks ago. They just stick it all together. I've got to be honest. That's probably in Honolulu with Lionel Blair's niece or something. I don't know. However, it seems to go these days. We need to break for the news, and then we need to talk about your book.
Yes, please, let's talk about... I've tried my hardest to write some books, and they've come across very well. I've had another good crack at the Bible, and I'm really pleased with it this time.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, no, I've got across some lovely messages. Mostly it's just hold hands, let's enjoy ourselves.
That's nice.
Not necessarily in a hot tub.
Really, but it does help.
Mm. Well, I think it would elevate
hold hands underwater and people can't even tell.
They don't even know what's going on under those bubbles.
Somebody texted in saying you should try bamboo round it.
Oh, all right.
Bamboo
fair enough.
Plants.
But then, what if a panda breaks in? What then?
I think you'll be fine in North London.
No, they're very saucy. And people say they don't like sex. You should see them in my hot tub.
But I tell you,
they go for it. Sharp little teeth, vicious little brute they are.
Wouldn't they be like a soggy tennis ball, though?
They're
like the fur all round and wet.
Get out, you guys. No, I'm not turned on by that. Choo-choo or Lolo, whatever you call yourself. Breed elsewhere.
Surely the bamboo would distract the panda. If you don't have the bamboo, the panda will try and get in the hot tub, have the bamboo, and go, hot tub. Oh,
hello, you look delightful. How many of them to the... Oh, my word, bamboo, delicious. Right, quick run while the panda's distracted.
Is that Lionel Blair's nipple?
Is that Michael Aspel's goddaughter?
Oh, Blind Peach's Gelder.
Oh, dear. What fun. And, you know, not a million miles worth of the truth. Right, so more from us in a second. Electric proms. You know, I don't want to... You know, they carry.
Sorry.
I don't want to teach Russell how to suck eggs, but that's something you should think about. Maybe he's booking Noel Gallagher on his show one week. I think
he'd be a good guest, wouldn't he?
He should
be good.
Yeah. Mm. Just try them once. See
just
how he gets on.
Give him a little tryout.
Yeah.
I made Noel a cake.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, rage.
One big flake for the eyebrows.
It was brilliant.
What a good idea. Yeah. That's novel. Why go for breaking a flake?
Exactly. Right. We've got too many things to do today, Dominic. We've got too much to talk about.
Digital. FM. Online. This is Radio 1.
More from Russell Brand in a second. Let's get some news from Dominic. Take 33.
Exactly 8:37 now.
Mel has texted in saying, Russell, are you releasing any more DVDs this year for Christmas? And is your book also in audio book form, as I like listening to your voice?
Thank heaven someone has asked this pertinent question, because it gives me the opportunity to say that, yes, I will be releasing an audio book, but it must be hard. Have you done an audio version of your book?
Yeah.
Don't you want to change bits? Don't you want to go...
Yeah, and also, I was talking to Jonathan about this the other day. Also, you end up having to act and be yourself if you've quoted yourself.
Oh, right. Hey, you're not my real dad. Get out of my hot tub, you bloody pandas.
Yeah, so it puts too much pressure on you to recreate the moment.
If you've written something on the lines of, so I'm stood there at the football ground and I suddenly hear myself shout to this fella, and you can't do it the same voice because that wouldn't make sense. So you have to put on a voice for yourself.
But you're just being you again. I mean, how can that can't be hard because you are you. So like, no one can go, oh, I didn't think that was very realistic. So, well, that's what I did. I remember distinctly.
I found myself just by just because you're in a studio with a microphone and a script in front of you and people sitting through the glass, I did find myself kind of launching into some kind of book at bedtime voice. And every so often they kept going, that's great. Do you just want to start again from the beginning of this entire chapter and maybe do it again as you? I'm like, okay.
It was at this time I realised. It's a little bit like that. Sort of melodic. Yeah, okay, I'll remember that when I do it. Yeah, don't make it sound like a
I also realised as well when I did the audio book that there's way too many sentences that I've written it that I've absolutely strung out to hit the word count of 70,000, and I could have shortened it.
Right, it's just needless adjectives being put in there. He was a really lovely, sexy, beautiful, jolly, wonderful, smart
like
man. Right, yeah. I see, yeah, no, he's going to expose all sorts
but
of
but no, things. You should do it. It's a very weird thing to do.
All right, I will do an audio book of my autobiography, my bookie book, available in bookstores now. How long did it take?
Oh, it's like 2 days.
Oh, well, no, that's a lot of pressure. No, I can't do that. You'll notice the slow bubble of hot tub water underneath. Why has this book got bubbling sounds underneath it?
It's nautically themed. It's a submarine book. But you could do that.
Yeah, I know I could do that, couldn't I?
You could record a couple of chapters in the hot tub.
It would sound nice to get all the bubbling water effects under that as well, wouldn't it?
I can hear a panda drowning at the background of chapter 6.
Sling your hook, Ling Ling.
Just a panda chewing on bamboo in the background.
That's not bamboo! Damn you!
More from Russell in a second. Meanwhile, it's 8:39. This is Razor Light's new song, Wire to Wire. What is love? Russell Brand's favourite, Mika and Grace Kelly. Like Brian May and Anita Dobson, Russell and now Nick, who looks after him, morphing into the same person.
It's a touch of the John and Yoko's about us. We're
there
becoming
is a bit.
The same thing through love.
He never looked like that before. He used to be a smartly dressed, you know, clean-cut, short-haired gentleman. And now...
He's become a gothic dandy.
He is a gothic dandy, at least. Swish.
I believe you double-book yourself for events and send him...
Yeah.
With a tape machine under his lapel, and he just mimes the words.
He certainly couldn't do it himself, because he's much too brash and Mancunian in actuality, in terms of, all right, oh, hello, oh, you know, I've got a new hot tub. It just wouldn't, like, you know, there's none of the elegance, there's none of the archaic Victorian language.
There is that.
that it would be exposed, you know.
Listen, I can't talk about this forever, Russell. I know you want to, but I have to talk about your book.
Oh, please don't go on about my book Articles of Faith out yesterday in bookshops, compilation of my Guardian articles, Chris. Don't harp on about it and shift 5,000 copies.
I'm not... Well, I think 5,000 copies today we need to shift.
It's a bloody good book, this. There's a... Oh, it's all the all them articles I've written. A bit, it's about football, but obviously I drift off into other areas, you know. Well, there's mentions of Oscar Wilde, there's mentions of Morrissey, all sorts of pop stars, Princess Eugenie. Oh, imagine. but you know, I'd like to be royal. I sometimes think, you know, marry into the royals.
Really?
Well, it'd be fun, wouldn't it, to be a little bit royal?
I think you might fit in.
Oh, I think I'd fit right in there.
See you on that balcony at Buckingham.
It'd be nice if you could get an honorary title. Like, you can get an honorary degree, like pop stars do. They get a degree from wherever city they happen to come from. Then you could get an honorary princehood.
Princehood or dukedom or some sort of recognition from the royals for what I've done for them over the years. Eugenie. If they give me Eugenie, then I can legitimately have a title. Eugenie's 18, and that's whilst I'm three times her age. There's nothing sickening about the idea of me.
Not three times her age.
Two and a half.
Don't make it sound seedy.
This can still be a very beautiful romance.
If you're a West Ham fan, then you need to buy this book because it's written by a fellow West Ham fan, and you will understand some of the pain and the joy that Russell experiences. And also, if you're a fan of any team and you're a proper football fan, unlike myself, as I often hear, then you will thoroughly enjoy the book. If you don't like football, then I think you'll enjoy, you know, the ramblings of Russell. And if you're a fan of art, I think you'll enjoy some of the pictures. The only worrying thing is that if you open the book to page 116, will see what looks like, well, I think it's Russell with a sting mask.
Oh, yes. No, there is an illustration of me pretending to be in a coital situation with Trudy Styler.
Right. But if you look at the bottom right-hand corner of that and see who did the picture...
It's Neil Fox. It's Dr. Fox.
Dr. Fox.
Foxy lady. Imagine that.
I never knew you were friends.
Well, in a way, we communicate only through illustrations.
Right, which is probably the best way.
Some say, if you want to understand Neil Fox, look at his artwork. That's the best, that's the clearest medium, some would argue, to understand Foxy. Yes, you see, but a lot of different matters. That was a reference to Trudy Styler and Sting having a beautiful coital relationship, much like the passing of the Royal Arsenal last year.
Mm.
The passing of.
Sure.
There was absolutely no pun there at all, and certainly not a deliberate one.
And there's an interview, there's interviews in there with Russell and David Baddiel, who's associated with football.
Yes, he is, yes.
And,
dear man.
And Noel Gallagher and James Corden.
Lovely James Corden, a fellow West Ham fan. We had a bit of a chat about football on account of, you know, filling out that book and thinking, get some bloody original content in there. Some people buy The Guardian, it would be of no value to them. They'll have already read it.
So it's out today. It's Russell's book. And
on the cover, I'm a bit worried that I am depicted as Jesus. Do you think that
there
was
is
a
that
foolish idea?
There is that implication, I think, especially with the scar beneath your left nipple.
Yes,
but that's been done by thorns.
That's been done. That thing I find, that's bamboo.
What is it?
Yeah. Well, actually, that was an aggressive panda.
You caught yourself climbing out of the jacuzzi.
I knew this bamboo would lead to naught but trouble. So it's all your Guardian articles with extra pieces and illustrations, right?
Photo. I mean, this is it's an ideal Christmas gift or any other religious holiday gift, really.
I can't imagine any other book on sale at the moment that on the cover would feature the pictures of Hillary Clinton, Dean Ashton, and Tony Cotty all on the same page.
Even if it were for that alone, what a purchase it would be to see the three of them together.
Is there any mention of Leeds in the book?
I think there is a mention of Leeds, and there's their financial downfall. Maybe mentioned. I'm reluctant to drag it up.
No, that's fine.
It's okay. It seems like they're bouncing back slowly, a slow bounce, a trundle. Dwindling along through a gutter, acquiring crisp packets.
But I think you're being very polite.
I'm trying my best.
I think, you know, we aspire to be the next Hull.
Mm.
That's what we'd like to be.
It's annoying, that, isn't it, when Hull turn up and start beating everybody? Like, because I've got a friend who supports Hull, and it's like, oh, well done, jolly good. And now, like, they actually beat West Ham, and I feel a bit aggrieved by that, that it shouldn't happen. I feel, you know...
they're upstarts.
They're upstarts,
but they're
the people
doing,
of Hull.
I think they're doing really well.
They're beating everybody. It's like Dave said, I said... before you came in, so I'm like, who did West Ham play at the weekend? And Dave said they got beat by Hull this weekend. And I went, as everybody seems to do this, every weekend goes by, who did Hull beat this weekend?
It's becoming annoying, but at least the people of Hull are now upbeat. Because I went to Hull once, and there was a lot of fighting in the street. And
yes.
I was told it wasn't solely because of the fact that I was there. That they weren't just putting on a show. Like, they would have been fighting anyway. They like it. Some of them. Not all of them, but they were literally fighting as I was driving through Hull. Well, there's another fight, I was thinking. It was all right in its way.
I saw a fight in Carlisle once, but it was between some girls.
Right.
And the blokes were kind of stood behind, kind of just nodding to each other. So to go, oh, what can you do?
What can you do about this fight? Sort of baffled by it, like as if it's breastfeeding. Just a female activity that we just have to stand back and observe quietly.
Leave her, Mum.
Please go and buy the book today. It's Russell's new book. It's called Articles of Faith.
Yeah, because there's articles in it, and faith is often required to be a fan of football. And tomorrow I'm doing something at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square, right, where David Baddiel's going to interview me about football. So that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Imagine being interviewed.
Well, can people go to that?
They could go if they want. They can turn up there. I don't know what time it's on.
No.
I wish I had more. Just if you're prepared to put aside 24 hours to stand in Leicester Square.
Why not?
Why? What else are you going to do?
And at some point you will be there inside.
I guarantee it. I've got to go there. It's written down somewhere, like in a diary, that I'm going to definitely turn up there. Someone's holding up that 6 p.m. At 6 p.m. I will be there.
Brilliant. With David Baddiel.
Me and David Baddiel will be there talking about football. Have you had David Baddiel in here, Chris?
A long time ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Across the misty times of...
But that's showbiz for you. You know, that's not down to us.
Right, okay.
You know, that's down... If Unplanned was back on...
He'd be in.
He'd be in.
And how'd you schedule that, given the nature of Unplanned? He could drift in at any moment.
He would just... Well, that's true. But there is tough security here as well.
He wouldn't get past Claire on reception.
After saying that, then I did sneak in past the security guard who was asleep this morning, and I was very excited for myself.
What a cliche. He was just napping with perhaps a newspaper draped over his face.
Oh, no, it wasn't that good. He wasn't asleep in a carry-on, you know, on the buses way with his feet on the desk and a flapping newspaper. It wasn't like that.
He just nodded off.
I think he just kind of closed his eyes, so I just kind of sneaked past him. He might have just been crying. He might have been crying. Or, you know.
You didn't think to perhaps console him or give him a nudge?
No.
Just because perhaps he was nursing some inner malady.
If I'd have done that, he would have asked to see some kind of pass, which I probably don't have.
I don't have those passes.
I've got one, but it's got my picture on from about 1998, and I'm wearing a shirt which looks like I work at Tesco's.
They've taken all the fun out of photographs in passports. You can't smile in a photograph. You can't look this way. No. You can't wear those comedy glasses, for heaven's sake.
But that's it, because there are official rules which say that you're not allowed to
smile. You can't smile.
I thought that was
smiling when you go through customs to try and distract them from your smuggling, as I often am. As a semi-professional mule, I like to do a cheeky grin as I wade through, waddle through. I mean, it affects your gait if you're carrying that much.
You know what? I'm now looking. I don't have my BBC pass anymore. I don't know where it is.
Thank God that the security here mostly...
Oh, no, there it is. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
It's a little bit battered and bruised.
Right,
and has a BBC logo which they no longer use, but...
It's like a past to yesteryear.
There you go, I work here.
Chris, you look like a cheeky, boyish apprentice character in your pass.
Well, it's...
Look at that, that's before the cynicism set in. Look at this fresh-faced, lovable rogue that's pictured and depicted there from the early BBC era.
I just look very uncomfortable, do you not think? I look kind of look like the new fat kid at school that doesn't really...
Yeah, you don't look like you were happy to have that photograph done. I imagine you aren't wearing any trousers or pants if that had panned down in that shot.
Do you know what? You're absolutely right. I was just wearing the Tesco's top. That was it. That's how I used to dress in the early days before they had words with me.
Yeah, that will throw people.
So the book is out today. If you're going out, it's out already. If you want to go and buy Russell's book, then why not also pick up a copy of his autobiography, My Bookie Work?
Oh, yeah, have a look at that.
Because you should read that too.
It's quite good, isn't it?
Mm. I've read bits of that.
Loads of books.
Bits of it.
No, I have. The thing was, but I read it bits of it, but in sequence, because I'd be lying if I said I'd finished it.
Yeah.
But on my recent mini moon.
So don't ruin the ending, whatever you do.
No,
or,
but
it ends very badly.
I've read bits of it and I enjoyed what I read.
No, thank you very much. No, it's a good, I'm very proud of that book. It's difficult to write an autobiography when you're still alive, of course, you know, because there's stuff now I could already have added. For example, this morning's events, the fella Chuck that drove me here, the mysterious way he glanced over his shoulder at me, the answer phone messages, the contact on a thigh, an errant child, a wanderer. Suddenly I feel uncomfortable in the back seat. Listening to this radio show, may I say.
If you, when the paper book comes out, my bookie work.
Yeah. It has already.
Yeah, it's out. It's doing all right.
That's what I had. I had the paper copy.
I've got the hardback.
No, I had the travel edition.
Because you could have... Well, the travel edition is not paperback.
I've got the paperback.
That's a travel edition. It's completely different.
The travel edition is a different world.
You non-authors make me sick.
What's a travel edition, then, if it's not a paperback?
It's what you buy at an airport. It's a travel edition. It's when a book is in hardback and is not yet available in paperback. You can buy a travel edition so you can slot easily into your hand luggage for your journey.
But it is actually paperback.
Yes, it is, but it's
so
not
it is
classed
available.
As a paperback.
Hardback could be classed as a weapon.
That's what I had.
You could kill a man in the sky with a hardback.
That's right.
I bought it at Gatwick. It was a
paperback.
Travel edition. Like Connect 4 travel. A tiny version of Connect 4.
That's right. It's not Connect 4 for little small people.
Is that what you think?
It's a travel version.
There's another tiny world where people are playing Connect 4 in miniature. You're drinking too much.
I bought that.
Both of you.
Don't start having a go at me again.
Your boyfriend should get a job. You're destitute. You live like a Hogarth painting.
That's funny, and I don't even know what that means.
No, nor me.
I thought terrible etchings of London from yesteryear when people used to be on the gym.
There was a question about Hogarth yesterday on University Challenge.
You see, and I didn't even go to university, nor am I challenged.
Named after the Hogarth roundabout.
There, that's right.
Russell's new DVD, Russell Brand's Ponderland, is out on Monday the 10th of November. Ponderland's premise is simple, in my opinion. Basically, Russell here tackles random topics in each episode, delivering his spin on many subjects, including nostalgia, childhood, science, sport, love, and holidays.
You've summarised that perfectly. I wish you could help us when we have to write a synopsis of the show, when often it's meandering and unhelpful.
This Wednesday, as in tomorrow, Russell will be in conversation with David Baddiel. A season spent in worship of the beautiful game will take place at the Prince Charles Cinema in London at, I believe, 6 o'clock.
That's when it'll happen, 6 o'clock, high noon.
Okay, very quickly.
Elevenses.
It's noon plus six.
Let me get your thoughts on a few things.
Anything you like. I'm very happy to talk to you. I just love being here.
Well, God love you. The VMA Awards.
That was a lot of fun, especially the death threats.
You didn't get death threats.
I got a death threat.
Not because of the Jonas Brothers.
They weren't personally responsible, those lovely boys, but if you are going to kill someone, don't give them advance notice, because, that gives you a chance to prepare. Get in there, boom, strike, I say. The minute the threat is issued, I think. And also, if you've got to type out a death threat, surely, it was a Christian Republican death threat, and I think they're watching me on the VMAs, thought, oh, well, this is no good, I shall do a death threat. How can you, while watching the telly, think, oh, I don't enjoy this. No, I'm not enjoying this at all. Right, I'm going to kill him. That's a huge jump.
But they probably got a standard letter on their word processor, a death threat, and then they just changed the name on the top of it. But I thought that normally when you did death threats, you then chopped up bits of newspaper and stuck them in with the different letters on a piece of A4.
Do you know they hadn't even gone to the trouble to do that for the death threats? And that's what hurt most of all.
Mm. People are lazy these days. They probably just email it from, youllbedeadsoon@death.com. I don't know.
Standard death threat.
Your 1 hour Comedy Central special?
Yes, that's happening in America. I've got to do stand-up for 1 hour, then it'll be on Comedy Central. It's going to be special.
That's going to be good. Have you recorded that yet?
No, I'm going back to America. Go and do it. Get down, do it soon. Got to go to New York and do it.
You did it in New York? What are you going to do?
I don't know what the name of the place is, because it's very difficult to retain these facts, I just sort of think, oh, America, that's nice. That Disney World, all lovely.
That'll be good. I'm excited about that for you. I am. That's good.
Could be a laugh.
Central an hour, that'll be it.
Just talking for an hour about things that I believe in on Comedy Central.
But also, you don't want to tell everybody where you're going to be in case you get ambushed by the Jonas Brothers.
Again, an ambush from the Jonas Brothers, I wouldn't be able to distinguish that from a cuddle.
are you trying to kill me? Or is this a cuddle? Or should I be feeling these feelings downstairs in the trousers department? Or is this a murder?
As they're wrapped around your legs.
Wow, you know them very well.
Well, yeah.
Russell Brand first came to people's attentions, this is what it says on my notes, on Big Brother's Big Mouth. Since you've left Big Brother's Big Mouth, have you ever seen any of them with the hapless no-hope of presenters that have filled in since you left?
Has it gone downhill, Big Brother's Big Mouth? Oh, no, no, because that's an elevation of the form.
I did 2 weeks of it, yeah.
Did you find it tough?
I found, I got had the first week of the last two series, so I found that the first week was tough because there were elements of it that I didn't want to do.
Right.
And then the second time I did it, I felt more confident to say, why don't we rewrite that bit and take out everything you wrote and then add things that are funny and then it might be better.
It's difficult. It's best to just make it up, I think.
But it was difficult. It was like flat sitting and like looking after somebody else's flat. You can't all you can do is buy fresh milk. You can't really move the bedroom.
Did you feel the ghost of me drifting around there, phantoms in corridors?
I did. Before each show, I felt the ghost of you about 10 minutes before I went on.
That's the worst time.
I enjoyed it.
No. Well, I hope it lifted your performance.
So you've not seen any of them since?
No, because I'm a very bitter man. When I'm not involved with something, I will just drift off and have nothing. And also, like, with Big Brother, it's strange, because I didn't used to watch it before I did it. Then when I was doing the programme, I used to watch it all the time. Then afterwards, just sort of start watching it. When I'm not involved in it, I think, well, no.
They have one girl who looks like the direct love child of Kirsty Allsop and Slash from Guns N' Roses.
That sounds all right.
Yeah, she's done some work on there.
I'd like that.
What? Who? What?
The one who looks like Kirsty Allsop and Slash.
I've recently met Slash, and he spoke to me quite a lot about his love of lactation, the process of producing milk, which we've already mentioned, and the idea of the guilt a fella could feel at stealing a child's milk. Not like a child that one had met in the street, you know. I'm not suggesting that you should treat people as draft milk, not a mother who's dispensing the stuff, but what a thing to talk to Slash about. And what a thing to have mentioned here
in
the morning.
What a weird thing to mention on national radio.
Slash, milk.
Ah, he saved every one of us.
Next year, Russell Films, The Tempest.
Yeah! No, this year. Helen Mirren's playing Prospero. But imagine that. I mean, this is a subversion for all of you. Prospero, very typically a man, played by Helen Mirren. A woman, and by jingo, what a woman.
Are you impressed?
Yes, she's got an awful, awful lot of personal potency. Hello, Russell. Then she kissed me right on the lips. And I felt sort of dumbfounded, flabbergasted, gobsmacked all at once.
Did she make you feel like a little boy, quiet and shy?
I wanted to go asleep on her lap and for her to go, good boy, Russell. Oh. That's it, just like that. Just to nurse me off to sleep, as it were.
That's very sweet. What an image. That should be on the extras of the DVD.
I would say so. It might take me... I might try and sneak it into the film. I mean, one is loath to change Shakespeare's text to include a scene where I put my head on Helen Mirren's lap. Some would call that barbaric and cheeky.
Very quickly. Here are some text messages. My radio alarm woke me up from a lovely dream about Russell, only to hear him on air discussing hot tubs. I'm all a fluster, says Claire in London.
What a lovely way to
There were many text messages from women about hot tub stuff today.
Right.
Please tell Russell there is a house full of 6 female nursing students in Bristol, and we would very much like him to help christen our paddling pool. So that's...
Christen the paddling pool?
Yeah.
It sounds like I'd be a human fountain.
Yeah.
Piddling into a shallow pond.
Chris, please apologise to Russell for me. He had to throw me out when he did stand-up in Peterborough last year. We'd had front row tickets and were so nervous and excited, we had some Dutch courage. 3 bottles later and a few shots, we were fluent Dutch. Russell wasn't impressed. I have since lied and told friends that the gig was brilliant.
Oh, thank
Every
you.
Every time I hear him, I feel a wave of shame, says Lizzie in Suffolk.
A wave of shame. That's what I try to evoke in people. Lizzie, you are forgiven. I do remember the incident in question, and I do remember distinctly thinking, these people are Dutch. Look at the way that they're so relaxed. And, hey, oh, okay, what a lovely show. You know, they had a distinct air of Amsterdam about them.
Did you get to the point where you're just like, oh, this is too much now, you're going to have to go?
Yeah, you'd have to politely ask people. If you're in a stand-up comedy situation doing your work, it's nice when people get involved a little bit, but when it just becomes an endless braying, a constant bleating, one thinks, well, no, come on, that's my job. You know, exactly. Like, let me do the
braying.
So
you threw them out?
I sort of asked nicely, there's a code. Mr. Sands, code red. And then people sort of usher them out the door. And then there's two empty seats as a constant monument to their presence. And sometimes I
feel
ashamed.
Do you not then upgrade then somebody from the back?
I did actually upgrade someone. And that worked out very well, as a matter of fact, because the people that got that upgrade were damned attractive.
Well, there you go.
Do you see? So it all worked out incredibly, actually, for the people of Peterborough and for me.
The book is out now. You can go and buy Articles of Faith by Russell Brand, and why not buy his DVD, order it, Ponderland, and also his My Bookie Walk is out in hardback and in paperback.
And travel edition, apparently.
There's a travel edition, yes. Well, that's just to make sure that on the plane you couldn't use the sharp corner of a hardback to instigate some sort of in-the-air revolution. Mm.
Isn't it just because it'll squeeze into your bag easier?
I sort of think, well, I don't know, I suppose that's perspective, isn't it? I sort of think, oh, no, they're not there. Because a friend of mine was recently banned from getting on a plane because he was wearing a t-shirt with a picture of a gun. I said, well, what's he going to do, a cartoon murder in the sky? Well, what are you worried about, Dennis the Menace getting shot? I mean, you know, it's only a cartoon gun, nothing can really happen with that. Let me say once and for all, I'm against guns on aeroplanes, you know, let's get that out there. But cartoon ones, a drawing of one, what could ever go wrong?
Do they make you take your boots off when you travel?
Yeah, I'm less elaborately dressed these days, but when I used to be all bejeweled like a tinker, all covered, oh no, you again, come on then, just all the clatter of endless jewellery and zips and belts sort of landing in those trays, and me looking all naked like a cat after it's been in the bath, embarrassed. Don't put cats in the bath.
Dave always has to take his shoes off.
Always.
All the time.
Whenever
even if we get a cab somewhere.
Whenever we travel off, together, and you know, there's a group of us, maybe eight of us or something, everybody's always waiting on the other side of the x-ray machine while I then get searched by several people at the airport with gloves.
What is that about you, Dave? What do you convey that makes people suspicious?
I don't know, but they always think that there's something lurking in my shoe and there's nothing in there but socks.
No, that's a ridiculous place to hide anything. You've got your foot in there already. Why would you bother when nature has provided so many cavities?
They even took away... Do you remember, coming back from America, they took off my shoes when I was wearing sandals. And you could see that there was nothing in there.
I think they did that
feet.
To embarrass you.
That's ridiculous. That's victimisation. Mm. There's room for a lawsuit there.
Maybe they just challenged. Somebody's dared them to go near your feet.
They just think I'm suspicious looking.
I've been looking at your shoes, actually, and I would really like you to get them off now and just to see that your naked foot arch. I bet it's like a lovely little pink humpback bridge. I'll tell you what,
Russell, I bet you a pound to a penny his foot looks a lot nicer than my foot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
You've got pleasant feet.
I'll show you my foot and then we'll show you Chris's foot and you tell me whose is the nicer foot.
I'm prepared to get my feet out as well. Mine are lovely.
Right.
Look. Rachel, get your feet out.
See, no, it depends. Hang on.
Hold on a minute. You've got a knife in your sock, Dave. What's wrong with you?
Russell, there is my foot.
Lovely.
It's
that's
not
a
very big,
foot.
It's but
beautiful
it's quite a nice foot.
I see your little toes in isolation a little bit. The other toes have sort of abandoned it.
And they
your second toes...
They don't go in
it's
order.
Got hairy toes.
There's an indication of something when your second toe is challenging the big toe for supremacy.
Yes, he's inbred.
Yeah, inbred. Here are my feet, a nice high foot arch.
Well, you have big feet.
You've got very dainty.
Not that big, they're size 10, that's normal for a man.
Are they only 10? Well, okay.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, very dainty.
Dainty, elegant, see? Rachel's a lady, finds them appealing.
Well, there you go, they're very nice.
No, I just said they're dainty.
Dainty, and then you winked at me, and then did a little cough and a bubble came out, because you're drunk, Rachel.
Now, have a look at these bad boys.
Just get your foot out.
What's up with them? Is it like the yellowing toenails?
Worse.
Well, no, the toenails look like I've got nail varnish on.
What, like Rivita? Like when they're all sort of crunchy? When you cut your nails, do they come off in one little lovely crescent moon like mine do? Or do they come sort of break off like dust? Like powder?
They come off nicely, but I could show him my right foot, which is
what's
perfect.
Up with the left foot?
Show the bad foot, the left foot.
It's quite gross.
You'll
what's
need
up
to come
with
round
it?
Here,
is it mismatched?
Russell.
I'm coming. Oh,
it's
I'm
gross.
Crossing to the other side of the studio. I'm going behind the bar.
Crossing.
I feel like I'm tampering in a pub.
The talent moat.
Keep the crisps, mate. Okay, you ready? Don't.
Yes.
You can't. This is very important. You can't touch. Okay, so. That's one side.
Mother of mercy, behold! There is no God! Russell, what's happened to your foot?
And that's the other side.
What have you done? What's happened to your feet? How are you walking?
But that's better.
It's like Lord Byron's foot, I ask you.
But here's the worst. I got, they got infected, so I'm having them treated.
How? Like, what have you done?
6 weeks ago.
And how do you broadcast like that on your feet?
But here's the worst thing.
You deserve even more money. Double the licence fee.
Now, Russell, I think you'll like this. I think you'll be one of the few people who like this. Yeah. I had to dye my foot. I had to put my foot in dye twice a day in some kind of medical dye to make it feel better.
It's
dyed my toenails.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And now...
There we go. It's a big reveal of the toenails now.
Oh, my God!
He's got purple to aubergine. It's a very fashionable colour. Aubergine toes.
My mother was down at the weekend and she said, let me have a look at your foot. And she saw my toenails and she went, oh my God, they're perfectly painted. I went, they're not painted, it's dye.
You look like you've got nail varnish on.
I know.
Unbelievable, because your foot is all mangled like the Elephant Man's, and you've got like sort of painted toes like Katy Perry. Like you've got these elegant little dainty toes. And then the foot all savaged and ravaged.
I am getting better. That's the, you know.
Get better, Chris. You should do a campaign. You deserve something for that.
Yours is the only foot I know that has a crust. It's horrible.
It doesn't have a crust. It's because it's
like rustic. It's like a rustic foot. You know, like if you get a loaf of bread and it's got seeds on the outside of it to make it seem like it's come from a barnyard. Your foot's like it's come from a barnyard. But then they've gone, well, we'll put a little bit on the toes. We'll spice it up a bit.
What's happening, Dave, is if you really want to know the information, I know it's 11 minutes past nine, but this is groundbreaking radio.
Really is.
What happens is it's getting better, Dave, and that's why...
The drying out is actually a sign of healing, isn't it?
Yes.
That's all right. That means it's healing. That's like when you tell kids, oh, you've got lice, they like clean heads. That means those lice are connoisseurs of clean scalps.
Yeah,
so... What a compliment. So you've got rats living in your pants. You must have the loveliest privates. But why is it a secret why your foot is in this condition? Is it to do with something wonderful you've done?
I got blisters. I believe they got infected and I didn't do anything about
blisters.
It.
Blisters?
We were away and it was all... I tried to sort them out myself.
You are a hero. You are a hero. I've seen another side to you, Chris Moyles, today. You are... this is unaccountable. You're like Daley Thompson or Chris Ryan or one of those butch fellas. I can't praise you enough. And may I say, you look slimmer and more handsome than I've ever seen you before.
Well, God bless you, Russell. You're very sweet.
God bless you and those feet.
And I like the beard.
And your purple toenails.
The purple toenails. What about aubergine? I will insist that they're called aubergine because that's so nuanced and subtle to have aubergine toes. It's like up-to-the-minute fashion.
This season.
You laugh at me, but you watch. There'll be a movie coming out in the next couple of years with Russell, and there'll be a shot of his feet, and you watch. Lo and behold, he will have my colour toenails.
The film will be called Aubergine Toenails.
Yeah, Aubergine Toes. It'll be lovely. It'll be like a Coen Brothers film. It's going to be really moving.
I think Russell's right. I think you're drunk. You should shut up.
Don't victimise him.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Russell Brand.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Are you going to be on Radio 2 Saturday night?
I will be there on Radio 2.
You stockpiled enough links for them to make shows till Christmas?
I recorded those links sometime in the late 90s. I can't imagine what was going on then. It was a crazy, crazy time.
Thank you, Russell, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Right, Dave, A Tribe Called Quest and Can I Kick It was yesterday's song.